Well, good morning to you, and welcome to New Life Church. So thankful that you're here, and Happy New Year. Here we are in 2022, ushering in this new year, and it's so good to do it with you. This morning, if you have your scriptures, we're in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. When I was a kid, I lived on a street full of other kids, and we would ride our bikes together, we'd play capture the flag, hide and go seek, all of the things that kids would do. And on our street, there was one particular kid, his name was Dwayne, that was kind of the street bully. He was older than us, he was bigger than us, he would always kind of rough us up, and we were all pretty scared of him, and he just kind of bullied all of us. And I remember the day my mom walked in and said, "Hey, look, we are actually moving to another part of town." And in many ways, I was sad that we had to move away. But a lot of me was kind of happy because we were moving away from this bully, you know, getting away from being bullied and roughed up and all those kind of things. And so we moved to another part of town where seemingly he couldn't get to. But you know what I found out is when we moved to that part of town, there was a bully on that street too. It didn't matter what environment we moved to. Our environment changing didn't necessarily change our situation. Our challenge, my challenge, my brother's challenge was the same. There was still a bully in front of us. And oftentimes we can believe the lie that if we move somewhere, if we change our scenery, that all of a sudden the lies will go away or we won't have the same challenges, but that we know that's just simply not true. And the bad news is just because another day has come and we're in a new year, it doesn't mean that we're not going to experience or have the same challenges we did in 2021. But the good news is this, and this is what I want you to write down this morning at the top of your page. The good news is this, is that God is with us. No matter what challenges that we face in 2022, God is with us. And he is not just with us, but he is for us. All through the scriptures, you can read about how God says and tells us that he is with us. It is through there over and over. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I hold you with my righteous right hand." God is always with us, and if we are in Christ, we have him at the center of our life. We know and notice that he is with us, whatever challenges we may face in this coming year. I believe that we would all live a little differently if we were faced with all the uncertainty of life and the year to come and the moment to come, if we truly believe and we were certain that God was with us wherever we go. That he doesn't want to just be with us, but he wants to be attentive to our lives and know exactly what's going on. Each week at New Life Church, we recite a blessing over each other before we leave. And as Todd and I talked about preaching this first week, we got to thinking like, hey, we say this every single week for the last year. It may be a good time to actually teach on it. And so Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, I read it from the English Standard Version, ESV. And it says this, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Now, this is commonly known as the priestly blessing, and it's a blessing given from God to Moses, and then Moses passes it to Aaron because Aaron is the mouthpiece, and he speaks it over God's people, and he gives it to them as a blessing, something they can hang on to, something they can recite to themselves, but also as a community as they travel together. Now, this passage is found in the book of Numbers. And in the book of Numbers, what's going on is that, you remember, God's people, they were in Exodus, you can read about this, but God's people are in slavery, and then God frees them from slavery. They cross the Red Sea, and then at Mount Sinai, God makes a covenant with his people with the Ten Commandments. And when we get to Numbers 6 in this blessing, the people are beginning to pack up at the base of Mount Sinai to head off to the Promised Land. They're about to head off to this great big journey in the Promised Land. Now, in Numbers, you'll read this theme over and over. Israel is rebellious and sinful, but God is still faithful to them. And while God is faithful to his promises and to his people, people can walk away and face consequences. And the Lord is given this blessing to remind them, look, you don't have to look anywhere else for peace or grace or love or kindness or anything else except for me. And this book of Numbers is full of example on why we should keep God at the center of our life, of our family, of our church, and why it is so vital. Now, Aaron gives them this blessing, the priestly blessing we just read in Numbers 6, 24 through 26, again, right before they go into this 40 years of wilderness. For 40 years, they are wandering around, and they make some really, really terrible decisions. You can read about it in Numbers. They make some really bad decisions, but they have this blessing to remind them of a lot of different things. In fact, they have this blessing to remind them, I'm going to give you six things that we can remember coming into this new year, because we need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. We need to be reminded of God's presence, that he is with us and for us. So I want to give you six things that he says through this blessing to us so that we can hang on to what he has called us to do in this coming year. He begins by saying, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Point number one is this: God's presence is with you. God's presence is with you. Bless in the Hebrew means literally to kneel or bow low. This is a reminder. When we say the Lord bless you, it's a reminder that the Lord bends low to us. And in his bending, in his coming to man, especially we know what they didn't know through Jesus, is that he comes to rescue and redeem and revive our hearts. And God's blessing only comes from him, not from what we do, but from his loving kindness. And the Lord doesn't just bless us with anything, right? What the Lord is specifically, what Aaron is specifically telling the people here is that the Lord bless you, that God's presence, what he is blessing you with is his presence. And with him at the center, with his presence in your life, all is well. And where you are weak, his strength is possible. Now, if you look back through the scriptures, you can see over and over where God's presence changes everything. God's presence changes everything. You think about Abraham, and God shows up and he tells him, your ancestors are going to be as numerous as the stars. Noah, he shows up and he has this promise, right? And he says, look, go build this ark to save the people. Moses, David, think about Mary. When God shows up through the angel in Mary's life, everything changes, and not for the worse, but for the better, that God can live his promise out in her womb. I think about Paul, one of the beautiful pictures of God's presence invading Paul's life on the road to Damascus. And what about you and me? Think about when God's presence, when it has shown up in your life, of course, when you came to know Jesus for the first time, but also all the hundreds of other times God's presence has shown up, you have recognized his presence is with you. Now, the idea of God blessing would have been the opposite of what would have happened back then with all the other gods. Those gods would never have bent low to man. Yahweh is the only one who kneels and bends low to the ones he made in his own image, to come and to restore and to revive and to rescue. God was made low through Jesus so that we could be sons and daughters. So point number one, God's presence is with you. The Lord bless you. God's presence is with you. Point number two, the Lord keep you. God protects you and guards you. Now, when they would recite this over their community or to themselves, this would have got their attention because there were thieves, there were armies, there were wild animals, there was war, and certainly they wanted to pray for physical protection. And I want you to know, before I ever get deeper into this, it is important to pray for physical protection. There's nothing wrong with that. But God has always been clear in the scripture. He has been clear from the beginning, and he is clear through the very end to Revelation. God's protecting and guarding is not necessarily about this earth suit that we walk around in, but about the heart, about the soul, that he has been clear, guarding, protecting, keeping the heart is what he is after. He says this early in the scriptures in 1 Samuel 16:7. He says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he looks on the heart." I love Paul. He talks to the Corinthian church about this. We don't lose heart because outwardly we're wasting away, but inside we're being renewed every single day. It is no secret that the outside fades away. We know this. We get older, right? We get gray hairs. We get wrinkles, all those kind of things. But on the inside, this is what can be renewed and reborn every single day. And this is what the Lord protects, our hearts. And being kept by God is a matter of a heart. This is what he's protecting. And what is he protecting? Well, he certainly protects us from taking wrong steps in the world, steps that would cause us to sin, steps that would cause us to have pain. He doesn't want us to take those steps, but also he protects us from the lies of the enemy. When the enemy has lied to us, he will protect our hearts, he protect our souls from those lies and give us the truth of Jesus through his scripture. He keeps us. So, number one, God's presence is with you. And number two, God protects you and guards you. I want to say this last thing about protecting and guarding. Anytime you are protected or guarded, there has to be some sort of submission to that protecting. Like, I'm going to allow someone to protect me and take that step. We can try to guard our lives with a lot of different things. We can try to hide ourselves under a lot of different things. We can try to keep ourselves with a lot of different things in the world, whether it's money or jobs or whatever it might be. But it is only God who has not just your good interest in mind, he has your best interest in mind and will protect you from all things. So he guards us. Number three, he makes his face to shine on you. Point three, God smiles on you with love. I love this. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and he will quiet you with his love, and he will exalt over you with singing. I love this. He smiles on you with love. I want to ask you a question this morning. What does God's face look like when you think of him? Might sound like a weird question, but let's go deeper. What is God's face? What is his countenance like when you sin? What do you view him like? What does that look like in your mind? Or what about when you are doing all of the right things, right? Does it look the same? Is God's face smiling on you? Is he one that is well pleased? God's face, his illumination of our hearts is the only thing that can save us. And it's not a face full of shame or full of sadness or grieving, but it's a face full of love. And the scriptures teach us, and you can read about it in Romans 8, but if we are in Christ, then when God looks at us, he only can see his son. And when he sees his son, he does nothing but smile in love. For Jesus did not come to condemn us, but to save us. And you can only reflect what your heart sees. Maybe this is why we have so much trouble sharing who God is, or wanting to share about Jesus or about our relationship with the Lord, because for so long we've had a wrong understanding of how God actually looks at us. Why would you want to share about who God is when all of his countenance in your mind and how he views you is nothing but a face of shame? Nothing but a face of just disappointment. The scriptures say he smiles on you with love. He makes his face to shine upon you. And it comes even stronger in Romans 8 when he says, nothing can separate you from my love. For God is not drawn away from your broken heart. He is not disgusted by the brokenness in your life, yet he is a God who is actually drawn toward it. I don't know where we begin to believe this lie, that he has steps away from that, but he is drawn toward you in love. So number three, God smiles on you with love. Number four, he is gracious. It says, be gracious. God deals with us not on what we deserve, but on his compassion for us. What we deserve is death, but what God gives is life, and that comes from his loving kindness, from his compassion. And when we say be gracious, when we think about grace, we should always remember that grace that we receive from God is not cheap grace. This is grace that costs something. Back in the Old Testament, the grace that they would receive by taking animals for sacrifice, and it cost them something. It cost an animal from their livestock, right? And then for us, what we know is that grace is not cheap because it cost the Son, the Lord Jesus, his life. Here we find his ultimate grace. And we need this sort of reminder because it is so easy for us to abuse the grace that God has given us. I can do whatever I want because his grace is enough. Paul reminds us over and over in the scripture that we don't go on sinning to abuse this grace. We need this sort of reminder that his grace is not cheap, that it costs something. Number five, he pays attention to your life. He lifts his countenance upon you. God pays attention to your life. The idea of God lifting his face towards you is an act of movement toward your life. He pays attention to your prayers and your hurts and your joys and your worries, your cries. And he doesn't just want a relationship with you where, like, I know that person, they live off. I have a relationship because we're related, for example. I have brothers that live all across the Southeast, right? And we have relationship with each other, but what the depth comes in when we have that fellowship with each other. And the paying attention to our life is the deep fellowship that he wants to have with us. The translation here, actually in the Hebrew, is when you look at lift his countenance upon you, it literally means how a father looks at a son with pleasure, with joy, and then the son will look back at the father and you know that he's received it. You know that look. You know that look, or maybe you know the opposite of that look, but you know the look that when I have kids, when they're asking me, look at what I did, Daddy. Look at the shot I'm about to shoot. Look at how I'm dribbling the ball. Look at this page I've colored, all of these kind of things. And I look at them and I smile in joy and approval. And then their face lights up and receives it. It is the notion, it is the recognition that I have paid attention to their life and their heart is at rest. I love this. I love that God never stops paying attention to our lives. He never gets worn out or weary with the, Daddy, look at this, listen to this, watch this, be present with me. And I know this as a parent, that when my kids constantly, which is a lot, hey, Dad, look at this, hey, Dad, let's do that. I want to tell you without without second thought that I pay attention to every single thing they say. But it is desperately hard for me to do that. I'm not perfect. But God is. And he pays attention to your life. There's not one moment in your life, there's not one prayer, there's not one cry, there's not one joy that he doesn't pay attention to or want to be invited to be a part of. God pays attention to your life, and this is important for you as you move into this new year, to know there's nothing that he does not want to be involved in. Finally, he gives you peace. The last point, God alone brings peace. The Hebrew word here is shalom. Peace, basically, this means that there's a total well-being in your life. There's a peace in your heart, your mind, your soul, that no matter what happens on the outside, you are peaceful. And your strength comes from the Lord. And we know this, that we try to flood our hearts, our minds, our souls with things that we believe that the world is going to bring us peace, whatever that might be. Money, power, sex, any of these types of things that ultimately will give us peace, but we know every single one of those are temporary. But it's God alone that brings peace. His name alone brings peace. He in Isaiah, when he was foretold, when the the Savior is foretold, it says that he is a Prince of Peace. God alone brings peace, and we can try to fabricate that in so many different ways, but it's he alone that does this. So in this year, in 2022 coming up, we all kind of make goals, all those kind of things, but when it comes to being spiritually healthy, when it comes to deciding that God is going to be at the center of our life, and when it comes to us reading the scripture and this blessing over each other, we need to be reminded of these six things. That God's presence is among you. That God protects you. That God smiles on you with love. That God deals with us not on what we deserve, but on his compassion for us. That God pays attention to your life. And then God alone gives peace. And if you notice in these six, the subject of every single one of those is God. That we should notice and make him the subject of our lives. As you look through these six, as you think through these six, are there parts of this blessing that you are hoping to see God allow you experience firsthand this year? As you look through those six, are there ones that you just so want to experience? Maybe it's his presence. Maybe it's just knowing that God smiles in you. I don't know what that is. And maybe another way to say this is, what part of Numbers 6, 24 through 26 do you really need to be true in your life right now or in the year to come? What is it that you really need? God, I need this to be true for me. I need to know your presence. God, I need the peace that only you can give. Lord, I need to know that you pay attention to my life. When we read this scripture over each other at New Life Church, we can read it with a renewed mind and heart, knowing that we are literally saying these six things together. That God is the subject of our life, and when we center our life on him, we find rest. We find peace, no matter what challenges come. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this blessing. And God, we ask that you would grow us to look just like you, so your kingdom can advance and your light can shine in the darkness through us. Pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.